feel funny up here a little bit. You want to swap places? Boy, God's good all the time, ain't he? Could have picked a more perfect song than every one you sang, but that last one, whew. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for joy in just being here in this house. We thank you for your presence being so alive and active. Every song sung, through greeting people, through seeing people we hadn't seen in a while, and Lord, just the way you move us sometimes, Lord, it's just so amazing, Lord. We're not even thinking about some things, and all of a sudden it'll come in our mind. Lord, you look after your children, and you speak to them daily. I pray as we're reading your word today and going through it, I pray we'll see something to let us know you're always there. We can always lean on you and your understanding, Lord, because you know things we hadn't got a clue about. Lord, I look forward to doing this, Lord, for a little while. And I just pray today as we open this Bible, I pray that each word will cut right through to where it needs to cut. And everybody different. We all see things sometimes in different light. But there ain't but one true light, and that's your son, Jesus. I thank you for everything he's done and things he's going to do. And look forward to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got some verses on. He's going to pull up sometime and put on the board. I want you to write them down, if you will, because I might not get to them all today. But I want you to take those verses and read each verse, see how you line up with it, okay? And I'm going to start today in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. I want to let you know something. You got a choice. You always got a choice. No matter where you are, how far, how deep, what you're doing, I've read so many things in this Bible that people made one bad choice. It totally destroyed them. Satan's waiting right outside your door, wanting to devour you every minute of every day. His job is not to leave you alone, and he won't. He's perfect at his job. He ain't got the power our God's got. He's got more power than you got. Unless you got God. Huh? Mutt? You hear me now? I talk louder? Is that good? All right. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. So listen, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So he didn't want the knowledge and all of God to come here with him where he had the power to make the right choice. He came here in human form to fight against sin and overdo sin by listening to God and letting God feed him what he needed. That's what I believe. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And the servant in this time, this day, was a lower person that didn't have the things the rich people and other people did. He served to get whatever he had. He worked for it. He had to earn it. He had to do something to get it. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. So God came to earth as Jesus, and he looked like us. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Known as the worst death back in that time, probably any time that you could have, because of the depression, pain, and what it did to you by being hung up there, and you trying to pick yourself up where you can breathe, and the whole time, people standing there that you're trying to save, I can't even fathom it. I really can't even comprehend it. But one thing that gets me when I think about Scripture, about Jesus, is where he asked God, if it's possible, take this away. Do you not know that was in the human form? But your will be done. How you doing with that? When he asked God, God wasn't mad at him by asking. He didn't doubt God. He just said, if there's any other way. Because the human side of him wanted to stay longer, wanted to be here, wanted to do more, wanted to help, wanted to think this way. But he said, your will be done. No matter what. That's what we got to get. No matter how bad I want this job, your will be done. What did he give up for us? Everything. It's amazing, ain't it? For us. Filthy, wretched sinners he loved. 1 Corinthians 2, my main man, Paul, has a way of bringing things to light, and he really put this in light to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. None of them understood it. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You understand that? They couldn't have done it if they'd known who he really was, because they'd been wanting to help him, do what he wanted. They'd been surrendering to him. But he was taking their power. He was humiliating them. He was making them look like nothing for us. How you feel when somebody's humiliating you? When somebody don't know the truth about what you're doing, how do you feel when they're talking about you? You feel good about it? Hurts your feelings, don't it? Makes you upset, makes you mad, makes you want a little bit of retaliate, right? He had every reason to come down off that cross. But he chose it for us. When I think about what he did for me, I can't even I can't even get my mind back on nothing for a while because it's just so unbelievable. He said, listen to this now. However it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Can't your mind conceive a lot? Can't you think of a lot of things? But we can't even comprehend what God has prepared for us. Even though we got revelations telling us all about it, it ain't in the ball game what he wants to do for us. The one that owns it all. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So there's no way not having the Spirit in you, can you even come close to understanding God? Okay? But Satan has a way of making you think you know God. Listen to this now. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? At one time, everyone in this room, at one time, had a spirit within them that thought they knew. But they were controlled by an evil spirit. Every human being born is born into a world of sin because you are born with a wrong soul. You've got a soul inside of you that is corrupt, it's bad. Your heart craves things of the world because Satan has blinded you and you couldn't hear and you couldn't understand. It said, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? The spirit you had didn't know. Listen to this now. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, how do you know God? Because the Spirit, he's going to swap for you. You get his spirit, then you got some way to know God. He says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, which you had, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So he's replaced the spirit we had with a new one. That's the reason we sung, Leslie said a while ago, well, you're a new creation. Somebody's talking, and the old's gone, the new comes, right? How are we doing with that? How are we looking with that? How are we walking? If the old spirit's gone, the one that controlled me, why do I still look like that old spirit? Why do I still walk in some of the same ways? What is causing that in me? You hadn't died fully to yourself yet. You're working it out. That's what the Bible talks. Work it out. But how do you work it out? Right here. You ain't got to have a person. If all you know is what I say or what the preacher preaches, that's all you know, you might come up short. But if you know what this right here tells you to know, you ain't coming up short. Because you won't believe a lie. You're through with lies. You won't tell a lie. Because you'll know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It's clear. It's so clear once God starts. Might take 20, 30 years to get there. But the time's going to come when you don't want nobody to lie to you. And you sure don't want to lie to somebody else. He said, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. You understand where you got to get it from? Not by humans. Even though you might start your walk and journey with a human teaching you, and you see something in a person because he looks like Jesus and you didn't know what Jesus looked like, and you hear something from out of his mouth that ain't different than what you've been hearing, and you want to know more about this, and eventually you'll ask Jesus in your life and you'll come to know him and you'll start doing the same thing. That's how it sort of works. Sometimes it comes because you was in a bathroom by somebody hearing something outside your door and they didn't even know you was in there. But God knew you was in there. God knew the time and place you need to hear it. He knew when you might receive it. But the word is might. Y'all ever heard that? Might. The biggest word in the Bible to me is if. Smallest word, but the biggest Bible is if. If you. It always says if you. It never says if God, because there ain't no if in God. There ain't no if in God. It's if you, because he's already done. And he ain't through doing. But he's done. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get caught up if he would just show me something. I have people ask me, well, if he just do a miracle in my life. Have y'all ever heard something like that? And I thought, you know you have. If you witnessed, you have. Well, let me tell you what let happen to me. It's unbelievable what you can hear if you're out witnessing. Person with the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You hear that? What kind of mind we got? Oh, we got an excuse. The Bible says man is without what? Excuse. So here's tell you why it says that, because you got the mind of Christ if you're born again. But the part that got me when it says, who has known the mind of the Lord? How did Job come out talking to God about it? Well, what about this? God said, where were you? What about this? Where were you when I? Where were you when I? I wasn't nowhere. When he, because I was lost. And I didn't even know I needed a Savior until he showed me. You can play with God your whole life and burn in hell. if you give him your life and he comes in your life, he will make you know when he's there. He will teach you. He will talk to you. He will work on you. He will never let you go. When he gets inside of you, he is the best thing, only thing ever that's possible that you need in your life is him. But without him, you can do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. We say that, but do we really believe it? Back in Philippians, which I didn't finish reading, verse 9 to 11. I kept my finger there, but I did. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place because of Jesus, what he did. Listen. And gave him the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. How's every knee going to bow? In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Because when he comes back, every person that did not know him, did not trust him, did not put their faith in him, is going to rise in that hole, in that ground, and bow to him. Everyone's going to bow to him, and they will burn in hell the rest of their life. But they will be awake and feel every bit of it. Why would you want to let anybody not know that? How would you not witness those people you run into every day? Who witnessed somebody this morning already? Who witnessed yesterday to somebody? How'd you go all day without running, not seeing nobody? I'd witness to a doggone deer out there if I could. Because you got to be witnessing. He told the disciples, go into all the world, what? And make disciples, right? Teaching them and telling them and proclaiming, correct? You ain't got no choice in what you're doing. You make a choice. He already made it for you. But if you don't trust him and believe that, he ain't made it for you. Because you don't know him. It's his children. Turn your Bible, if you will, to chapter 15 of John. John 15. When he says, I am the true vine, this is Jesus, and my Father's gardener is God. Y'all with me? Listen to what he says now. Because I don't believe everybody sees it this way. He cuts off every branch in me. God cuts off every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. Is he satisfied where you are? Will he not prune you where you'll do more? Is pruning fun? One of the worst things I've been through is God pruning me. I believe every bit of my breath, I believe what happened to my daughter was from me. The night before she had the stroke, I prayed you do whatever it takes to bring her to you. And I believe 100% God used her to really change my life. If you don't think things happen in your life, no matter what they are, if you love God and you trust him and you pray, you better look out. He'll use anything to get you where you need to be. He also, I baptized her two years later in my bathtub. Baptism don't save you. What you believe saves you. If you've been baptized, it better be because you want the world to know that you love Christ. You gave your life to him. And you want them to know that I'm a new creation, old's gone. So live that way. Don't talk about something you ain't living, because it's a lie. Listen to what he says now. I'm just reading. You are really already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Jesus, they're already clean because I've talked to them and they've accepted what I'm doing, okay? Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. But the next, after this, listen now, listen what he says. Then it starts off, I am the vine. He tells them again. And you are the branch. He's talking dead to them. Y'all are my people. Y'all are my branch. Y'all feed off of me. You live in me, right? Then he says, if you remain in me, why did he put that there? If you remain in me. And I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. Why would you use that example? Hell, right? That's enough to scare me to death. And I know I'm with Jesus. Ain't nothing about me don't know that. But I guarantee you I ain't going to play no game with him. Because I know he knows what's best for me when I don't. I think I need this, but he wants me to have this. And I'm hoping I'm so sensitive that I can see that, hear that. Then he says, if you remain in me and my words, here we go again, back to the word, right? Are you reading your word? I guarantee you there's 10 or 20 people here probably read the Bible all the way through every year. I would say that. And there's some people that read it every other day, or 3 days. And some people read it once a week, and some people don't open it because they go to church. I used to be one of them. I never read it about my life till I got saved. I read it for 2.5 years before I gave my life to the Lord. But I went to church, went to Sunday school, did all them things, but I didn't read the Bible to want to change. I read it maybe if I was looking up something to tell somebody, try to argue with somebody. You know, try to prove a point because somebody made me feel bad. You know, I read something. I know what this is, you know. That's the way we do. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, listen, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Who in here has asked something they didn't get? I'm the only one, Jeff. Y'all don't ask something you don't get? Why do you think you didn't get it? Because you wasn't asking in his will, you was asking in yours. He's got to give it to you if it's his will. It's already been done. Correct? So if you're listening to him and you're talking to him, ain't he telling you what's already done? Didn't he tell him to go up there and there'd be 2 mules tied by a little rope and you can go get him and bring him back with you? Just tell the man I sent you after. Don't know that story? Already done, right? And can he not deafen you and blind you? When you, he said, who, Lord, is the one going to betray you? The one that sticks the bread in the wine with me. The one that sticks his hand in it, right? That's the one. Pulled it out. Jesus said, one of y'all been to betray me. Which one is it? Well, I said the one that put the bread and the wine. I said that. Which one is it, though? It says they all got together. It ain't me, surely not me. And Judas walks out, and they still didn't know who it was. He had a blindfold on them. He had a deaf on them. They ain't no way. If somebody said, the one sitting on the front row, right of a lane, is the one that is, well, who is it? Sounds crazy, don't it? But there's things in life happens that you can't understand because he ain't give you the answer. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, I hate to tell y'all things sometimes because I feel like everybody says, well, there he goes again, there he goes again, because I hear it sometimes, okay? But I got more joy yesterday. I've worked a pretty good bit this week. Way above normal. I didn't get home till about, started at 3:30 on Thursday morning, got home about 9:30 Thursday night. Or 200 yards, 80 yards of concrete. Went and spoke at a Baptist church in Vera, Georgia. Came back, got up yesterday morning, started cutting bush hog and cutting grass and all that. And bush hog 2 or 3 places. Went and got my sprayer, sprayed 3 different places. Filled up the water here one time, went and did the power line twice, went back up here. About 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I rode by here. I'd have been by twice and saw Lynn Mills on a lawnmower out here cutting his grass. I went to the house, cabin at 5 o'clock, about 10 to 5. I said, I'm going home to get me some rest. I got to study. And as clear as I'm standing here talking to y'all, something said, you ain't going to go help her cut that grass. You got a lawnmower sitting right there in a trailer already hooked behind your truck, your tractor's on. I said, you've got to be joking with me. Loaded my lawnmower, come up here, pulled down there and hopped off and started, Lynn Mills was sitting on that lawnmower. I didn't know this till she told me later, and I just started cutting. And I rode by Lynn, threw the thumbs up, she threw hands up, she shook her head, and I thought to myself, I said, I know Jillian got some kind of joy seeing me come up here. She didn't get much as I get by helping her. We got through Lynn, so I just called Keith before you drove up and told him, I'm ready to go when you're ready to go. I'm cut all I can cut, it's too hot. When I drove up, she said she wasn't about to quit. If God does that in your life every day, what kind of joy would you have? You helped everybody the way God wanted you to. You just was open to let him. He couldn't do that in my life when it was all me. When I was all wanting feel, all this chasing after all these things in this world. He couldn't do it. But I'm scared not to listen to him. I'm scared I might do the wrong thing. I want to get up and read every morning. Every morning. I tell my man, I might be late if I'm late because I got into it good. Because there's nothing like reading the Bible. And I didn't know any of that for 40-something years. I really didn't know it, probably 56, even though I was preaching. The truth's the truth. You can tell anything you want to tell, but the truth is the truth. God told a story back in Genesis. Tower of Babel. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. I'm in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As people moved eastward and found the plain of Sinar and settled there, they said to each other, listen now, come let us make brick and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone. Somebody must have come up with that. And tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So they said, before God did it, let's build our way up there to him, or he's going to come scatter us. How do they know that? We're going to scatter over the whole earth. Got one language, one common thing. But look what God said. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have become to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them to do. So what did God put in us when we created us? He put everything we needed. Well, you could do anything. But he also sent Satan down here so we can do what Satan wants. And he deceived every one of us. We chased after things of this earth, not after God. God scared them and changed all their language and everything, but he couldn't even communicate because he wouldn't communicate with him. We know what we need. We don't need you. The world getting there now? Creating things, man. Everybody needs a good robot, don't they? It's the craziest thing in my life. It's killing me. You know, I'm just seeing what we're doing. We need about 3 phones, 10 computers, so we ain't got to talk to nobody. We can sit at home and do everything. They can bring you food to your house. You got to cut no grass. They'll fix it where you can put a robot out there, cut that. They're trying to make it where the world will be as sorry as they strive to be. What I believe, and it's working. You don't think it's working, go find you some teenagers out there who want to work. Go find you some 30-year-olds who want to work. Everybody needs college. had 2 years of it, threw away 2 years of my daddy's money. It ain't for everybody, but it is for some people. I want a man that's doing my heart surgery to be a doctor. I want him to go to college. I want him to learn a lot. But the guy that's out there working in my pouring my concrete, or one out there doing fence or whatever he's doing, he don't need to go to college. He needs to be good at what he does, right? And he needs to know the Lord and do it faithfully and serve him to the best of his ability. If we do that, everything will work out fine. No matter what you do. If you put God first in your life, you can be the worst person in the world, but if God comes in your life, you'll be the best person in the world. He transformed you from bad to great in one moment. In a twinkle of an eye, he changed your life. If you believe. If you just believe. If you had those verses you could put up, but I want you to read these verses when you get in tonight or this evening or whatever. And I want you to look at each one of them verses. It talks about don't love the world or anything in the world is one of them. It says you must walk as Jesus walked. It says that. It says you must have the same attitude Jesus had. I struggle that bigger than anything. My attitude changes at work, certain people, certain things, okay? So you know what you got to work on, right? God puts it in front of you, you know what you got to work on. Be sensitive to the Spirit he puts in you. Allow him to change you to where he's trying to bring you, okay? But he's got a great plan for you. He's already got a plan laid out for you. Sometimes we're like a Jonah. We want to jump ship. We want to go the opposite way. But when he went the right way, he still struggled with it. He hated none of them. But God got him to do what he wanted him to do. So as we do that, you know, we don't build everything ourselves. God's gone before us and done it all. He's got a great plan for everybody in this room here today. The number one plan that I see that we need to work on is out there, speak as you're in here. Live out there like you live in here. Be the person God thinks you says you are, or you say you are. Let God use you every day. Because there's not a cashier, there's not a person in a restaurant, there's nobody that don't need to hear the word of the Lord. Same guy that messed me up yesterday all day, and it about killed me Thursday, sales guy for this company lied to me about the concrete. Cost me 2.5 hours and about passed out. Ended up sitting in a truck with air conditioning on me about 30 minutes before I could go back and finish up. Bad day. He come up on the job site. I was fit to be tied. After I told him about lying to me, about the trucks and all that, I said, come sit over here by me. Tell me how your relationship is with Jesus. I sat with that joker. He told me, I go to church. I said, that's the wrong answer. We sat there 20 minutes. And I told him about how the Lord changed my life, how he can change his, how he gave him a desire to read. But I took the time to do that because I explained to him, I'm frustrated because you lied to me. Don't let your bosses make you lie to me. You tell the truth in everything you do, and it'll work out better in the long run. We need to take time to sit down with people to help them understand why God is who he is and who we are in his house. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for this group that you gathered, Lord. And I pray that we look at everything in your word, Lord, and take it to heart. We don't allow nothing in here, Lord, to... Sometimes we understand things, and I know I do. I look at things and jump to conclusions sometimes maybe, but Lord, if we'll just sit down and meditate and pray about it, you'll bring it to light. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the people that you put in this church family here, the pastor and different ones here that have been here so long that I look up to, Lord, and it's helped me so much in my walk. And I pray, Lord, that I'll maybe be able to do that with someone else, Lord. Thank you for the people you put in our lives, and we pray that we'll just be more like your son, Jesus, Lord, in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.